Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome back to the Creative Control Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us. And I normally call Sasha my right-hand man, so my left-hand man is Neil, and he's joining us today for the podcast. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm good. I'll take that as I'm left-handed.
It's funny. We almost had a full team today. We almost had Alex, Amrita, Andreas, Sasha. Of them got busy, and then the other two were just too ill to appear. So as it was at Christmas, it's just the two of us holding the fort down. Hope you guys listening and watching had a really good Christmas. If you haven't already, check out our last episode, which was the unofficial top 10 Christmas movies, where it's movies that we watched at Christmas time but don't necessarily have a Christmas theme in it. So definitely check that out. So when this is dropping, it's going to be New Year's Eve. So in light of that, we're going to be talking about the films and movies of 2024. We're basically going to go through the list of releases from the 1st of January all the way to the end of December. And we're going to know some of these. We're not, you know, there'll be some that we don't know stuff about, but we're going to kind of then pick out some of the ones that we do know a bit about, ones that we're looking forward to, what it means to us, whether it's new IPs, sequels, whatever it may be. All right. But before we move on to that, first of all, thank you very much for watching and listening. We appreciate you as always. If you haven't, please make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube and follow on any of the podcast platforms. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe, follow, share, do all the things for us. We really appreciate it. 2024. On the surface, there was quite a lot of stuff where I was like, there's not too many big releases that I was truly really looking forward to. Mm-hmm. But as I started going through the list, I was like, there's something that kind of intrigued me. And I think probably that's the way at the moment 2024 is going. I think previously there's going to be some other releases, but obviously we had the writers and actors strike of 2023, and that's put a lot of productions back and a lot of studios are reshuffling. And to be honest, even though we go through these movies and the release dates now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be sticking to that. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of movement over the next few months as productions run over, get delayed, whatever it may be. So, but this is true as of the... Well, today would be the 31st of December 2023. Yes. So 2024, let's go. So January, what have we got up? We have One Life. That is Anthony Hopkins. And it's based on the true story of a British humanitarian, Nicholas Winton. And it was very famous at the time, but also went viral later on, where they talk about anyone who was, I think it was in Nazi Germany or Jewish audience, they said, stand up if this man here has affected your life. Like, the whole audience stood up. And it's based on that, and it's obviously how he helped all these children get out of the trouble of the wars and stuff like that. So potentially Oscar contender stuff. This is the kind of time, January, February, where we kind of get some of those Oscar type of movies, and we'll obviously have an episode on that when we do the predictions and stuff like that. But we've got that. We've got Night Swim, which is a horror movie. That sounds interesting. Neil, I know you're a horror fan. So this is about a family's outside pool, which is possessed or haunted, basically, right?
I believe so. I've only seen one trailer for it.
Okay, I haven't seen a trailer.
Yeah, so I saw a trailer for it, and it does kind of seem like your standard horror affair. Two characters are in the swimming pool, and they're playing that Marco Polo game.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who doesn't know, you know, it's one person says Marco, the other person says Polo, and it's, you're supposed to not be able to see each other and get closer and closer to each other.
Yeah, you're supposed to be blindfolded or covering your eyes, basically. Yeah, you find each other via the voice.
Right. So they're playing that game, and then when the female of the two characters gets close enough,
mm-hmm.
she eventually opens her eyes, and the pool is empty, barring her.
Right.
And I think she gets dragged underwater by something or someone. And then when she's looking, like there's no end to the pool, there's no bottom.
Right. And, okay.
I'll be honest, I know nothing about it other than that, but I saw that trailer and I was like, I'll watch that.
Okay. All right. So then we've got, so that's One Life's 1st of January, The Nightsman's 5th of January. Then we move on to the 12th of January. We've got Priscilla. I know there's been some advanced screenings of that. I've got it, but I haven't watched it yet, but that is based on Elvis and his wife, Priscilla. I think it's Sofia Coppola who's directed it. And it's obviously it's about Priscilla and her life. Not necessarily it's about Elvis, but it's about that relationship. Apparently some good things have been said about that, but I haven't seen it yet. Then we've got The Beekeeper. So this is Jason Statham affair. I think it's like a Sky original movie. And it's directed by David Ayer, which... Yeah, exactly. So he's had a string of hits back in the day. You know, we had Bright, End of Watch, Fury. But then we had Suicide Squad, and he's been very vocal on social media about that wasn't really his film. It wasn't the cut he wanted, and he wants his director's cut of that movie. I can't think of too much that he's done in between then. I think he's been fairly quiet. So it'll be great to see him, you know, doing, you know, something that he had kind of complete control over, basically.
Yeah, I mean... I give him, I think a lot of people don't give him a break because of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But I think if you look through his filmography, outside of Suicide Squad, which is a film that we know has multiple problems in production and on screen, he rarely makes a bad movie. So.
Yeah, it's not bad movies. Exactly. Like I said, you know, he had Sabotage, he had Fury, and then we had Bright after Suicide Squad, and then we had The Tax Collector, which wasn't too bad either. So we'll wait and see what he does with The Beekeeper. So that's going to be interesting. Then we move on. We've got Poor Things. Now, this is a film that I want to see. It looks batshit crazy. It's got Emma Stone, and apparently she's fantastic in it. And I literally just saw the trailer today. I hadn't seen it before. And Emma was watching, goes, "What the hell is that?" And I was like, "I don't know, but it looks freaking cool and funny." But basically, brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist, which I think is Willem Dafoe in this. A young woman runs off with a lawyer on a whirlwind adventure across the continents. Free from the prejudices of the times, she grows steadfast in her purpose to stand for equality and liberation. So, yeah, but it sounds cool. It looks cool. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Oscar buzz for that one as well. Then we have The Boys in the Boat. No idea what that is.
Boys in the Boat?
Yeah, don't know if you've heard of that one.
That sounds familiar.
Sounds like a book. Boys in the Boat.
Oh, yes. It is familiar because I saw a poster for it last time I went to the cinema.
It's... So during the height of the Great Depression, members of the rowing team at the University of Washington get thrust into the spotlight as they compete for gold in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. So kind of a sports drama, but set in the time period. All right. Then we have Mean Girls. So this is not a remake per se, but this is a movie version of the Broadway musical Mean Girls. So it is very much a musical, and something which I found very interesting with stuff being advertised of late is Wonka really wasn't advertised as a musical, but it very much is. The Color Purple, again, it's a movie version of the musical of that version. And then Mean Girls is a musical version of that as well. But you can't necessarily tell from the trailer from that. It doesn't really give you any hints. So, if you think about the trailer, there's not like a song in the trailer. There's no one singing. The only cue it gives you is when it does Mean Girls with the A, it's got like the musical note symbol in it. And that's the only thing. So I don't know whether they're just worried about audiences' perceptions of musicals. Wonka, has, you know, has done really well at the box office, and I enjoyed it. I knew it was a musical going in, but maybe there's some worry about that. I don't know.
I think what it might be, I could be very wrong, but I think what it might be is because The Color Purple and Mean Girls are based on, they're like I guess you could say, like, the third interpretation of themselves. You know, The Color Purple was a book, then it was a movie. The movie is, like, infinitely famous for you know, what it did. Then it became a stage play after it was a film. And then from being a stage play has now become a film again.
Mm-hmm.
I think by not advertising it's a musical, it's those who know it's a musical are already invested. Those who don't know it's a musical, maybe it's a surprise, maybe it's a good surprise, maybe it's a bad surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're probably taking that same line with Mean Girls, where it was a film, then it was a musical, now it's a film of the musical. So it's sort of like, because I've never seen Mean Girls, but I know how popular it is.
Yeah. What was confusing about this was Tina Fey is in this and she's playing the same character she did in the first film. So originally I thought, okay, is this a sequel or something? But it's not. It's just her playing the same character. So she's doing Judi Dench's M, I guess. But anyway, Mean Girls, for those that want to do that, hopefully it'll do well. And
I imagine it will.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so what have we got next? So after Mean Girls, we have The Book of Clarence. Don't really know too much about that.
That I do want to see.
Okay.
It's it's essentially, how can I put this? Do you remember Monty Python's The Life of Brian? Right? Imagine a non-Monty Python modern day remix of that.
Oh, right. Okay. Strong cast. Lakeith Stanfield, James McAvoy, Omar Sy, Benedict Cumberbatch. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Then we've got All of Us Strangers. Don't know too much about that. Then we've got The Color Purple. So, obviously, the musical version of that. Then we move into February, and then we've got Argylle. So this is a spy action adventure. The trailer was quite fun on this. This is from Matthew Vaughn, who's done The Kingsman, Golden Circle. It's very much, I think it's an original take of something that he's come up with. But it seems like it's about a writer whose stuff is happening, his real life is really happening kind of thing. Sounds a little bit like the plots of Lost City, which you saw with Sandra Bullock.
Which is funny because that in itself sounds very similar to Romancing the Stone.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly. but it's got a great cast. It's got Henry Cavill, I think it's got John Cena, Samuel Jackson.
Sam Rockwell's in it?
Yeah, I think so. But the only thing that took me out of it was the cat. It looks so CGI and over the top on it. But it's got Bryce Dallas Howard, Dua Lipa. It's got Sam Rockwell. He was in the trailer as well. So yeah, it's got quite a stacked cast. Ariana
Doesn't Rose. Have the mom from Home Alone?
I think it might do. Yes, because I think she plays the mother to Bryce Dallas Howard's character in this. But yeah, it's got Bryan Cranston, Sophia Boutella, Rob Delaney. Yeah, it's a really stacked cast. People just want to work with Matthew Vaughn. Do you know what I mean? So, that should be fun. And then we've got The Iron Claw. So this one I'm interested in, right? So this is... Neil, tell me about The Iron Claw.
Good God. All right. Well, if you are a strong wrestling fan, and when I say a strong wrestling fan, I'm talking about you are old enough to remember the Hogan days of wrestling, you know, if you are old enough to remember WCW and WWF, not E, if you're old enough to remember that, then chances are you in some way, shape, or form have heard of the Von Erich family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to go on a tangent, but Cody Rhodes has the opening line of his theme song is wrestling has more than one royal family.
Yeah.
That sentence alone is because there are so many legendary wrestling families. The Von Erichs is one of them. And Unfortunately, the core, I want to say the core trio or the core quartet of mm-hmm. Von Erichs that were like most well known, they were like the Kennedys of wrestling. They just suffered tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Yeah. But to know about them is like required reading if you are a wrestling savant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got a stellar cast. So it's got Zac Efron mm-hmm. and Jeremy Allen White, who you all know mm-hmm. from the series The Bear. He's the lead in that. If mm-hmm. you haven't seen The Bear, season one or two, Disney Plus, it's amazing. It's got MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman from AEW. I think I've got him down as Lance Von Erich.
Okay. I'm in shock.
So if that's right, so you've got so Zach is Kevin, Jeremy is Kerry, Maxwell is Lance, then you've got Harris Dickinson as David, and then Holt McCallany as Fritz. So but I know that MJF had a lot of stuff to do with the training of like Zach and stuff like that in terms of in ring. And the choreography and stuff like that. So that looks really good. I'm really looking forward to that. The Jungle Bunch World Tour. No idea. The Jungle Bunch World Tour. No idea what that is. Colleen Hoover's...
Guys, you really are film fans.
We are, but we just don't know everything. Well, a movie which I think may be worse than what we fear it may be is next is Madam Web. This was a shocking trailer. When I did the first trailer reaction, I was like, okay, I kind of get what's happening, but I watched it a couple more times. I was like, this doesn't look great. We got like three or four different spider mm-hmm. girls in this. It's just Sony mishandling that franchise that they have. You know, mm-hmm. they just want to do all these crazy spin-offs, and this is the next one. There's not much more I can say about that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
You know what really, what is the most shocking thing to do with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Every time Sony do something astronomically amazing, like Spider-Verse,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're like, nah, we've set the expectation too high.
It's pretty
run it back. And they're just like, they just go and it's like, I need you to go to the mailroom, or I need you to go to the janitor's office, and I just need you to say, I need a movie with this character. What you got?
I need some kind of spider in there. It's just like connected to Spider-Man, but don't connect it to Spider-Man, please.
Yeah.
So, because I think it seems like the main character in this is a version of Spider-Man from what I can gather.
I'm not gonna get into it, but the character, the character has a connection to Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but good heavens, wow, that was like,
yeah, we'll move on before we start getting agitated. Then we have Bob Marley, One Love. You know, biopics always tend to do good. This looks fairly good, so
it's,
we'll see.
This will be interesting because mm-hmm. I think over this year I watched the Bob Marley theater production just before it ended,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I grew up with Bob Marley's music playing in my family home. He was I'm gonna say he's an international treasure, not even a national treasure, because you didn't have to be Jamaican or for Jamaica to really know the relevance of him and his music.
Absolutely.
But I think the story is going to be far more shocking for people who just know Bob Marley for, you know,
love.
Basically being the first poster child for marijuana leaf on a poster.
That's it. Yeah, no, looking forward to that. Then we've got Dune Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to this.
Mm.
For me, the first movie was okay. I thought it was beautifully shot and directed, absolutely, but it felt like it felt like I was watching a half a movie, in the sense of, not that even it was part one, because again, I didn't know it was part one until it came up on the beginning of the film. It wasn't advertised on any of the posters. Mm-hmm. But most of the movie was like flash forwards to the next film. Mm-hmm. And I spent half the time saying, right, okay, that's going to happen, but just stay here, be present a little bit more.
Mm.
And yeah, I don't know. I know some people loved it, just wasn't for me. I've never read the book. I know Sasha was a big fan of the book, and he really enjoyed this. And yeah, just wasn't for me.
I mean, it's not. You know what it is? It's going to sound weird. I'm more interested in Dune 2 than I was Dune 1. Because, like yourself, I didn't know the movie was split in half until like I'm sitting and it comes up on the screen.
Yeah.
And it says Dune Part 1. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was so kind of exposition heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of feel, whilst it was very, very exposition heavy, it also kind of felt like you had to have prior knowledge of a number of things to do with what's going on before you watched it.
Yeah.
Like going in there. I mean, I've seen the Dune movie with, Sting and that in it.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like that felt almost like a more complete movie. I mean, right. Yes, it's one movie and it's incredibly long.
Yeah.
But it felt like it was like, okay, you know what? I felt like what I reckon most people feel like when they watch like a middle Marvel movie without seeing anything beforehand.
Yeah.
And then have to talk to someone who knows about comic books.
About it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think part one will age better when part two is available, and if you can watch it as one. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, it looks stunning. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Imaginary, which is another horror movie.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, directed and produced by Jeff Wadlow and written by him as well. Let's have a look. I have no idea what it's about.
It's interesting.
Oh, it's about imaginary friends. Okay.
Yeah, but it's like...
But they're not really imaginary.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the best way to... It's sort of like, you know, you might have an imaginary friend, but the imaginary friend just happens to be like your teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine like the teddy bear suddenly doing real things.
Yeah, okay. Mm. All right. I was thinking like Drop Dead Fred, but as a horror, but we'll see.
Oh, no.
then we've got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So I was a big fan of Afterlife. I really enjoyed that. Shout out to Andreas, who did not. he had a real issue with that movie. More so, I think, with the older characters coming back. But they were right in this trailer. You know, they weren't hiding them in this one. And I think they are going to be, you know, part of it. Not a huge part. We'll probably see them at the beginning, maybe in the middle. You know, maybe it's a passing of the torch situation. Mm. But I just hope they don't kill them off in this. That's what I don't want to see. Just retire and, you know, go off into the distance, and that's fine. But yeah, it just looks fun. And so it did feel from the trailer like a Ghostbuster movie. So any thoughts on that one?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, on one hand, the opening of the trailer is one of the best openings of a trailer that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm sort of like getting too much information as the information comes out. So like if you look at the poster, like you really examine it, there's like eight Ghostbusters.
Right. Okay.
Which says, okay, so it's not just the characters that you saw before. It is them as well as, you know, the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a spoiler, But again, it's like, I just need the car, maybe two Ghostbusters, one on either side, and you know, a little bit of stuff. I don't need so much information.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then we've got, what else we got? Oh, we've got Kung Fu Panda 4. So I didn't actually really know this was happening until the trailer dropped.
Yeah. Weeks ago. Same. I thought it was a fake trailer.
Yeah. Right. I think the big thing is that some of the key characters may don't seem to be coming back. Mm. Is it the Famous Five in it? Is that what they're called?
The Furious Five.
Furious Five, yes. You got Angelina Jolie and it was Jackie Chan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it appears maybe they're not in it. It doesn't mean... We haven't seen them in the trailer, but it doesn't mean they're not in it.
Yeah, because that's the thing is I've... because of the fact that I've IMDb'd it,
mm-hmm.
I have a fair knowledge of who is and who isn't in it.
Okay.
I would say, though... One thing that I did find interesting about this was the fact that the villain can morph into other villains,
yes,
or other characters. Mm-hmm. So seeing the villain turn into Tai Lung,
yeah,
I like that because I feel like this is definitely going to be the last Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, you would have thought like, so.
I don't think there'll be a Kung Fu Panda 5. I think this one will be the end of it. And I think that's probably why they're like, oh, well, full circle back to the beginning.
Bring them all back. Yeah, exactly. But I think it'll be fun. Look, they're just fun films, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, bring it on. Then we've got Mickey 17. So this is a sci-fi movie. It stars Robert Pattinson, Tony Collette, Mark Ruffalo, Stephen Young. So it's got a really strong cast. A disposable employee is sent on a human expedition to colonize an ice world. After one iteration dies, a new body is regenerated with most of his memories intact. Mm. Director Bong Joon-ho, so who's Parasite, okay. Right?
Yes, that is Parasite. That is Snowpiercer. That is The Host. That's mm-hmm. That's a number of films that I have seen. I think, mm-hmm. I'll watch that.
Yeah, so no, that looks for, that's quite a quiet one. Again, didn't know too much about it. But definitely looking forward to that one. So at the moment, that is down for a 29th of March release. The First Omen. So is that a prequel? Is that a reboot?
Yeah. I imagine it'll be... it kind of has to be a prequel because it says it's the Young Omen. So it's probably about the woman who gives birth to the Antichrist.
Right, okay. Then we've got Godzilla X Kong. I think it's just going to be the same as the other movies, basically. It's just going to be bombastic, big, bold. It looks very colorful. It seems like from the first Godzilla, it was kind of dark and gray. They seem to get brighter and bolder with the palettes as they're going forward. It's doing a little bit of a Fast and Furious franchise where it's just getting kind of batshit crazy. But it seems like this time, you know, they tag team again to take on another foe. So then we've got Back to Black, which is a biopic again of Amy Winehouse. So that's coming. Looking at the cast, Marissa Abella, Eddie Marsden. Yeah, kind of a low key cast. So we'll have to see what that does.
I think this one probably has more riding on it than say, like your Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
Or your Von Erichs, because of the fact that you're dealing with someone whose life and death was very recent.
Yes.
So I think with, you know, it's like, obviously people pass away, famous people pass away and their lives get romanticized. Mm-hmm. But whereas, you know, I think a lot of people, especially our age and maybe even like 10 years younger than us, I think a lot of people can, it's not about romanticizing Amy Winehouse. You can kind of remember like news headlines, interviews, news stories. So I think that one will be interesting. And also because she had a voice that is so unique.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that, you know, whoever they've got playing her, that's a girl, you're going, I'm not saying you're going to struggle, but I wish you the best. I wish you all the best.
So it's directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. She did 50 Shades of Grey back in 2015.
Didn't she do that pieces. Film about, she's done another kind of biop before, I think. One of the Beatles, maybe? Something like Nowhere Man? Nowhere Boy,
yes. She did Nowhere Boy. But she's done quite a few music videos as well. R.E.M., The Weeknd. And then she's directed a few TV episodes recently, Solos and Hunters. So, yeah. Moving on, so we've got, let's have a look at this, The Fall Guy. So this is, I think it's based on a TV show, which I didn't realize. That's right. And it stars,
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ken. And yeah, kind of an action comedy with Emily Blunt, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trailer was good. I just hated the use of the soundtrack through that movie where they try and recut it to fit some stupid beats. That really annoys me. But yeah, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor Johnson. Emily Blunt is a director. Ryan Gosling is a stunt double, and he's in a movie, and I think basically he ends up trying to rescue the main actor in real life because he's a stunt double. But yeah, it looks entertaining. I think that one will do quite well at the box office, actually. Ryan Gosling's on a bit of a hit, so yeah, I think that'll do well. Then we've got back in May, we've got Horoscope. I don't know about that one. And then we've got the Garfield movie. Chris Pratt is back again, voicing a character, and he is voicing Garfield. The trailer looked okay.
I watched it.
Yeah, so basically it opens like with Garfield as a very cute cat. You're like, oh, this is really cute. Yeah. And he meets John, and then he goes apeshit and eats loads of food in the restaurant. And then it moves on to like present day Garfield. So I don't know. It looks fun. It very much looks like the comics. Has a nice look to it. Yeah, but Garfield is a real favorite of mine. I used to love the comics and the books and everything like that. So we'll have to see. It's ironic because the original, not the original voice of Garfield, but what's his name who did the movie?
Bill Murray.
Yeah, name escaped me. He actually has the perfect voice for Garfield. And I would have loved him to voice a fully animated feature as opposed to that weird live-action hybrid thing they tried to do. So, yeah.
You know what I find funny?
Go on.
Sorry, like a little tangent, is the fact that Bill Murray only played Garfield because he screwed up. He thought he'd be working with the Coen brothers.
Yes.
And not working with, I think it's Jeff Coen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, read the small print. So you probably signed on without even reading the script.
Or you did.
It was a really, yeah. So it's crazy. Then also maybe we've got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I am looking forward to this. Now that is a strong trilogy. You know, that is a big thing to take on a sequel for that. I know it is set quite a few years later after the last movie. It's following Caesar's son from that movie as well. But yeah, it's got a lot to live up to. The trailer looked okay. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that one?
It's going to sound weird. I think that the as we call it, the Planet of the Apes trilogy, and this being the fourth, I think they are all prequels to the original 1960s movie, because the way that those movies are all moving, we're getting closer and closer and closer to, you know, what we saw when his name escapes me, Charlton Heston lands on that Planet of the Apes. And I'm just like, I'm interested to watch it because I hope it really is going to that where it's full
to circle. That stage. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a nice touch. Absolutely. Then we've got our Mad Max spin-off, Furiosa, which is a follow-up to, was it Fury Road, the last one?
Yeah, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, yeah, you're right. It's a young Furiosa in this one. It's Anna Taylor-Joy, and we've also got Chris Hemsworth in this, who looks very odd in this, quite different. I know a lot of people are going to be looking forward to this. I know that Fury Road wasn't a lot of people's favourites, top five, top tens of that year. Didn't do it for me. It was okay, but I appreciate all the practical effects and stuff in that movie, but yeah, it didn't do it for me. But I know Sasha, for one, I was like, it definitely in his top three, I think, that year. He saw it several times in the cinema. But, then we've got If. This looks like a cute movie, Imaginary Friends, written directed by John Krasinski, and he also stars in it as well. We've got Steve Carell voicing, seems like the main character. And Ryan Reynolds is in it as well. So basically, it's a young girl with her imaginary friend, and it's about imaginary friends in general, and she can seem to see everybody else's imaginary friend and stuff like that. So it looks fun. It looks like a cute trailer. It's going to be a good family film. And and John Krasinski and Ryan Reynolds working together can't be a bad thing. Then we got in June, we've got Ballerina. So this is a spin-off from the John Wick series. This is what's her name?
D'Armas?
What's her name? Yes. So Ballerina Ana de Armas, she is our main character in this. And it's gonna sort of like take place, obviously, within the John movies. We have that ballerina sort of like cover for the mob stuff that's going on. So I think it's very much going to be a take on that. And I think apparently Keanu Reeves might have a cameo in it because I think it's obviously going to be set before John Wick 4. But young female assassin who's basically out for revenge. And I'm all for this. Anything with the John Wick series, I'm game. Go on, Neil.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this because, I mean, this could be a fraud, but I remember when I first ever heard about the film, The Ballerina, this John Wick spinoff, was I saw a stunt choreography video for a young woman fighting a horde of very angry gun-toting men.
Okay.
And at the end of it, it just said ballerina,
right?
You know, and I was like, what is ballerina? And then the next time I heard about it, it said a John Wick spinoff. And I was like, okay, that I want to see.
Okay. I haven't seen that clip. So, all right, that all sounds great. And then we've got 14th of June at the moment, Bad Boys 4. You know what? Bad Boys 3, I enjoyed, you know, for what it was. I was a bit worried about it, but they kind of pulled it off. They're coming back to do another one. And this one should be called Bad Boys for Life, but they ruined that with the last one in terms of a title. But yeah, Bad Boys 4, Will Smith, I want him to do well. But, you know, whatever is going on in his private life and the stupid mistakes he makes there, as long as he can get right on screen, yeah, we love him. So, Bad Boys 4. That's
the movie where prior to recording, where I said, yeah, BS, that movie's not getting made. And then I saw a production still. I was like, oh my gosh, it is getting made.
Right. Okay. Yeah. He announced it on his Instagram or something like that. He went and knocked at like Martin Lawrence's house and like, we're going to do this thing. Yeah. It was quite cool. Also in June, we've got Inside Out 2, Pixar back, you know, revisiting that franchise. Can't be a bad thing. The teaser trailer was very funny. It was really good, bringing anxiety into the mix and obviously a teenager getting older. And I think they're going to do really great with that. It's really hard to revisit some of those things. And, you know, they are dipping back into the world that with Toy Story as well. So they just need to, you know, keep on par because Inside Out is one of the better Pixar movies, full of emotion and well-loved. So fingers crossed for that.
I think that one will work because of the nature of the first Inside Out. We had that just small number of emotions. And now with the sequel, it's like, I'm an adult. Yes, I know what that emotion is.
Yes, yeah, exactly that. Then we've got also in June, A Quiet Place, Day One. So this hasn't got John Krasinski involved, and it's not that family, but I think he's going back, like he says, day one. So it's a spin-off, but set in that universe. So it's going to be following another group of people when those aliens first land. So A Quiet Place 2 did a lot of
building of that,
yeah, where they kind of went back to show when the aliens first landed and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, the first film, fantastic. The second one was really good as well. But A Quiet Place, yeah, I think it's definitely something they can build on. And I know John Krasinski like visited the set. He's involved. I think he's like probably an executive producer on it, but it's in the hands of a new director. So we'll see there. Then we got Despicable Me 4. Have we had enough of this? I don't know. The third one was okay, but are they stretching it now with number 4?
Never saw the third one.
I think it wasn't the third one. I think the third one was he had like a twin brother and he voiced both characters. Oh, yeah. Like
ridiculously wealthy.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I saw the trailer and I was like, I like the first two.
Yeah, so we'll see. I haven't seen any of the Minions movies either. Yeah, more Gru, more Minions. Then we got Twisters. I have no idea what Twisters is about. I mean, it I can imagine what it is about.
Twister.
So Twisters.
It is the sequel to Twister.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, snap. Okay. Director Lee Isaac Chung, producer Frank Marshall. Okay.
I mean, Twister.
New chapter of the 96 film Twister. Yeah, so it does follow on. Wow, okay. Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, Anthony Ramos, who I really like as an actor, young guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got David Cornsweet in it as well, our new Superman. So there we go. So
I mean, it's going to be interesting because Twister is a beloved film.
Yeah. It was one of those films at that time. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what happens there. We've got in July, and last film of July, we've got Deadpool 3. It's the only Marvel Studios movie coming out in 2024. So, you know, they're going to be wanting some big box office. We know that Hugh Jackman's going to be returning. And we do know that a lot of other characters are going to be returning from the X-Men universe. So I'm not going to go into spoilers here because there are a lot of spoilers out there online at the moment in terms of the film sets. So there's more than I wanted to see. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid it as much as possible now. And Ryan Reynolds and the director, they've all kind of put out, please don't spoil this. I actually wrote a tweet about it and Ryan Reynolds liked it. I was like, oh my God. It's like, please, so basically don't spoil Deadpool 3. Just they're working hard on this movie. Just let us enjoy it. Because as much as we want to kind of know what's going on, we want some kind of things to be left. So we'll get some surprises when we go to the cinema. But yeah, Deadpool 3. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy, batshit fun. And, you know, it's got a great team in it. And, it's going to be full of cameos. Full. Then we've got Borderlands, which is based on the game.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about that. So
I'm very much not interested in this.
Okay.
In part because I never played the game, but more so because of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I never played the game, I've seen enough of the game that when I found out the cost, I was like, yeah, no.
Right, okay.
The cost has, I think Eli Roth is directing it.
Okay.
Is he directing it? He's either directing it or he's in it. No, he is directing it. Okay. I mean, Jack Black is in it, which is always a good sign. Cate Blanchett's in it. Again, another good sign. Jamie Lee Curtis, Edgar Ramirez.
Cate Blanchett. Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Hart. So it does have a cast where you're like, oh, okay. But if you look at the cast and then you look at who they are playing, you start to think, okay, maybe not.
Okay. Well, I'll have to see. So it's being touted as an action comedy film.
Yeah.
And Eli Roth co-wrote it as well. So
I think it's very much in a similar, somewhat similar vein to something like Twisted Metal.
Right. Okay. All right. So then we've got Speak No Evil. So this is another... This is kind of psychological horror thriller movie starring James McAvoy. Families invited to spend a weekend in an idyllic country house and go from a dream vacation to a psychological nightmare. Mm-hmm. So that will be that. Then we've got Alien Romulus, 16th of August. Are you excited? Are you worried? What are your thoughts on this one?
Unfortunately, I haven't been excited for anything Alien since the knowledge that Neil Blomkamp's Alien movie is not going to get made.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a standalone installment in the franchise, and it's set between the events of Alien and Aliens. So it's set between the two movies. It's directed by Fede Alvarez, who co-wrote it. Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, I don't believe it's connected to the Alien TV series that they're doing. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's odd when they try and squeeze movies in between originals. They try and set them in that timeline.
Technically, I can give it a break in that because there are 57 years between Alien and Aliens. And we do know that, you know, the Weyland or Weyland-Yutani Corporation knew about Aliens prior to Alien 1. They knew about the Xenomorph then. And they did stuff in between Alien and Aliens. So I give the film a little bit of leeway, but sometimes, you know, absence makes the heart fonder. Sometimes you just give it a rest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ridley Scott's producing it, so we'll wait and see what they do produce. Then we've got, at the end of August, we've got Kraven the Hunter. Oh, again, Kraven the Hunter, no Spider-Man. If you want Kraven the Hunter done right, just do it like the Spider-Man 2 video game. Do it like the animated series. It's very, very simple. It's very, very easy. But this just, it looks horrible. It really does. Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Again, it's just one of these. They're doing movies like Venom and Morbius and all this other stuff without Spider-Man's involvement, and it's just stupid and wrong. So we'll see. I'm thinking eventually they're going to tie all these villains into the Tobey Maguire universe. Sorry, not Tobey Maguire, the Andrew Garfield universe. I think that's the only way I can see it fitting with a Spider-Man, because they're supposed to be bringing all these characters together. Because obviously Morbius and the Vulture met up at the end of that movie. Mm-hmm. You got Carnage, who was killed off, but the Spawn's still there. You got Venom, and Venom 3 is in production. That's like actually coming out in November of that year as well, November 24th. So I think eventually they're going to try and bring it all together, but I don't want it touching the Tom Holland. I don't want it touching the MCU. And hopefully it shouldn't, because obviously in the last Spider-Man movie, we see the crossover of Venom coming into that universe, him dropping off the symbiote and then leaving. And hopefully that will be enough just to do the MCU version of this. Yeah. But I would love to see Andrew Garfield get another crack at it. And it's like, okay, you've got all these villains here, just wipe them all up and just deal with them. Then we've got beginning of September, we've got Beetlejuice 2. Now, this is going to be really intriguing. Obviously, it's a sequel to the original, which is loved. Winona Ryder is back in it. We've also got the original Beetlejuice coming back as well. Michael Keaton, thank you very much. It is directed by Tim Burton as well. And it's also got the young girl from Wednesday. She's in she's in it as well. I'm imagining she's playing probably a daughter of...
Yeah, I think she's Lydia's daughter.
Lydia's daughter, yeah, exactly. But yeah. Keaton showed he's got the chops to do whatever he wants to when he wants to. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. And he did Batman again. He came back and he's like, you know what? I'm going to come back and do Beetlejuice. So are you looking forward to it, or are you more hesitant about this?
You know what? Do you know, I was negatively inclined towards this movie until Jenna Ortega dropped out of Scream 7.
Yes. Yeah.
And her dropping out and her reason for dropping out, I was like, okay, I could watch Beetlejuice 2. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Catherine O'Hara's coming back. It's also got William Dafoe and Monica Bellucci. So,
all right.
Yeah, so strong cast.
I think the only thing I would, that not causes a problem, but I'll be like, oh, it's sad to not see them, would be the Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Who knows? They might even cameo. So yeah, Beetlejuice 2 is beginning of September. Then we move into October and we've got Joker, Folie à Deux, which is basically two people who share a madness, which is basically Joker and Harley Quinn. Yeah, exactly. This is, from what I understand, a musical of sorts. Mm. And where the first film was obviously from Joker's point of view, this is going to be more from Harley Quinn's point of view and her mental mind state and stuff like that. And it's going to be, that's why it's going to be a bit of a musical. And obviously Lady Gaga's playing that. Look, Joker, the first movie, is a fantastic movie. It's not a Joker movie. And that's how I feel about it. If it didn't have the Joker character in it, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more. But for me, the whole point of the Joker is not really understanding where he comes from and the reasons behind he does what he does and the craziness that that brings. Just kind of see it played out like that. I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me. What were your thoughts on the original?
I watched it twice and I disliked it both times.
Okay.
I thought it is an excellent movie for a, it's an excellent movie if you know nothing about the characters involved. If you're just watching a movie, it is pitch perfect, on point. I can understand why people love it and regard it so highly. It is, you know, I think the Batman and the Joker are homages to the works of Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he's not the biggest fan of superhero movies. But you know, it's, you homage to his films. The Joker is similar to the King of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Batman is similar to Taxi Driver, but the Joker, it just rubs me up the wrong way. Exactly what you said, Ken. My Joker, the Joker that I grew up with, the Joker that I've always understood him to be as a character, I don't need an origin. I don't need to know what his name is.
Yes.
And the fact that he's crazy enough that if you see him in a dark alley, this is the best ever quote I'd ever heard to do with the Joker, was, you see him in a dark alley, he might shoot you, he might give you $1,000. He'll probably shoot you, but it could go either way.
Yeah.
And that, I'm like, that's all I need out of a Joker. I don't need to know that, oh, you know, society broke him.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I want all the implied stuff, the guessing. Yeah. It could be of any version, it could be any version of his origin story, which is true. Okay, and then also in October, we've got Transformers 1. So this is an animated feature.
Okay.
It's going to be set sort of like early Cybertron, and I think it's going to be based on Cybertron. Okay. It's got a stacked cast for voicing, you know. Optimus Prime is going to be done by Chris Hemsworth. I know, right? Alita is Scarlett Johansson. Megatron is Brian Tyree Henry.
Okay.
Bumblebee is Keegan-Michael Key.
Mm-hmm.
John Hamm is Sentinel Prime. Lawrence Fishburne is Alpha Trion. I'm like, yo, this is a cast.
Okay.
I didn't know this movie was happening until I looked it up today.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that it was happening. And again, this was one of the ones where I saw that list and I was like, yeah, BS.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I know it is happening and it is real, and with that cost.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know if they're going to try and do it just as a prequel to the original live actions, or maybe even before Bumblebee, because that was kind of set. Bumblebee is one of those movies where you could take it as a reboot, or you could take it as a prequel.
As a standalone.
You know, you could do it either way. But yeah, so I don't know if it's going to have any connection to the live action, but I would like to see just a Transformers animated series. Why not? If you haven't seen it, the Transformers animated series they did on Netflix, War, Transformers War or something.
There's a trilogy of those.
War of Cybertron. That is a great series. It's really good. It's got some like mature themes in it. Animation is fantastic. I love the lore on it, and it's like a young Optimus Prime who's having to step up to that plate, and he's there's like an uncertainty about him, and he like grows into that leader. Ah, it's a really great series. I would definitely recommend you guys checking that out. So yeah, so Transformers 1 is October. Then we've got Smile 2. Were you a fan of the first? I haven't seen it.
Beautiful movie.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely beautiful movie.
All right, cool. So Neil's excited.
The sequel, but the fact that they're making a sequel, I will be there opening night.
Okay. I love the marketing they did for that, because they had people like smiling at like baseball games and basketball games and stuff like that, like to promote the movie. I thought that stuff was really cool. But yeah, I haven't seen it yet. It's on the watch list. Then we move into November. We've got Paddington in Peru. So I'm guessing that's a new Paddington sequel. I haven't seen the Paddington movies, and I should. I do need to see Paddington 2, because I know people say it's a very emotional movie.
I've never seen anything Paddington related. I know the character.
No, I haven't. Well, I know the character, like, yeah, exactly. So I will have to watch those, because I'm sure they're movies that Emma really enjoys. So maybe we'll watch it between now and New Year. Then we also in November, we've got Venom 3. I just don't care. I don't care.
Less of a shit.
Fuck you, Venom. That's what I got to say. Last film in November, another film in November, we got The Amateur. I have no idea what this is about, so let's have a quick look.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, right. Some things just catch you. Amateur movie.
Okay, Rami Malek.
Espionage movie. Okay, based on novel of the same name. Follows a CIA cryptographer who manages to blackmail his agency into training him to let him go after a group of terrorists who killed his wife in London. Okay, and like you say, it's Rami Malek in it. Okay.
Yeah, Rami Malek, Holt McCallany, Lawrence Fishburne. It's got a couple of people.
Yeah, okay, that looks really interesting. Directed by James Hawes. He sounds familiar. Now, why? Oh, okay, so he's done some episodes of Slow Horses.
Okay.
And that's kind of his wheelhouse, because that is very much like CIA and MI5 type of spy stuff. If you haven't, again, if you haven't seen Slow Horses on Apple TV, fantastic. Really, really great series.
If he did that, then this is sort of like...
Yeah, he's done a lot of TV, actually. So he's done Raised by Wolves. He's done Snowpiercer, Black Mirror, The Alienist. He's done a lot of TV. And, oh, he's actually done One Life, which we spoke about at the beginning. This man's on the up. So,
yeah.
All right. Looking forward to that. Alto Knights. Have you heard of this one?
Alto Knights. As in Alto, like the singer Alto.
As in A-L-T-O. Okay, so this is Robert De Niro. Okay. American gangster film directed by Barry Levinson and written by Nicholas Pileggi. So stars Robert De Niro in a dual role, apparently. Let's have a look. Vito Genovese and Frank Costello are competing Italian-American mob bosses. And Genovese orders a hit on Costello. So survives, but is wounded in the attempt and ultimately decides to retire from the mafia. So
this is going to be quite...
Oh, he's playing both. So Robert De Niro is playing both the two competing Italian mob bosses. That's interesting.
This is going to be very interesting, because this is based on true crime. This is based on real life.
Right.
Because Frank Costello is a real person.
Exactly.
Both of them are real people.
Yeah. It's got Deborah Messing, Catherine Narducci. Okay. I didn't know this was a thing, so... Fair play.
Again, I promise you people, we do our research. This is just...
This is November next year. This is like ages away. Yeah. Okay, then we've got Gladiator 2. So this is a film I think does not need to be made.
You know what? I disagree with you.
Interesting. Okay.
I think the problem with this film is the fact that it's titled Gladiator 2.
Yeah, it needs to be called something else for a start.
I think if it, I imagine when it comes out, it's not going to be called Gladiator 2. I reckon it will have its actual title. It's just being referred to as Gladiator 2 because
New Empire or something
The story itself follows the son of what's her name?
Lucilla.
Yeah, it follows Connie Nielsen. Yeah, Lucia. It follows her son, whose name escapes me again. Lucius. It follows Lucius, who is now a grown man, and he himself is with trying to deal with the Senate and everything that's going on.
Yeah, so Connie Nielsen comes back. She's playing the mother. She comes back. It does have a stacked cast. It's got Pedro Pascal. It's got Denzel Washington. Paul Mescal as Lucius Barry Keoghan. So it's got a great cast. It has Russell Crowe down, but he's very much, I think he said he's not a part of it, but maybe he's dumbing that down. Maybe he's going to appear in a flashback of some weird sorts.
Well, that's the thing. Technically, you can say someone's a part of the cast if you reuse old footage of them.
True that. He says he's been getting calls all the time regarding it.
Yeah.
So I think they've been speaking to him a lot about the movie, the world, and, you know, maybe like character choices and thoughts and stuff like that. So, Gladiator 2 next November. Then we've got Wicked. Movie version of the stage musical. That will very much be a musical. But I think it's been split into two, so it's part one of two. Because again, it's a big story. So I think they might be doing it like year on year, so like December and December, part one, part two. We also have Karate Kid. So this is our coming together of the Cobra Kai and the series, I believe, is going to kind of spin off from there. And it's also going to feature Jackie Chan's Miyagi. So,
it's the Han.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be those two worlds colliding. They announced it recently. They're doing it together. They're looking for a new talent to star for this movie. They're asking for people to come and audition. So it's not going to be a well-known actor. They're looking for the next Karate Kid. Whether they're going to be competing dojos, whether they're going to open one together. Will Jackie Chan appear in the last season of Cobra Kai? Who knows? So this is a TBC. I think we'll do one on Karate Kid, like Karate Kid, what next? What do we want to see? From the look of it, Neil doesn't want to see this movie at all.
Do you know what my problem was with this movie? Karate Kid is a perfectly positioned movie. The 1984, perfectly positioned movie, because it comes out at a time where, unless you are Japanese and have studied karate for years, if not generations, it could be anything. You could be learning taekwondo. You could be learning judo. You don't know. It's like, you know, because it was right about that time where, obviously, Bruce Lee had died in the late 70s. You know, like, martial arts had its kind of rise and its fall, and it's a little bit of its rise again, where it was becoming accessible to Americans as an actual art form.
Yeah.
Right? As an actual thing that you could learn to do, you know. This is like the middle of the 80s America, Reagan, all of that. You know, people were learning to do karate. So you could be Daniel LaRusso. You could be just good enough mixed with a good bit of luck.
Yeah.
And that movie could run, and everything that happened in the movie can happen the same way. The Karate Kid that came out with Jaden Smith was not that movie.
No.
You go to China, despite karate being Japanese, and you make a movie where the kid learns kung fu, despite it being called the Karate Kid. And you basically bastardize this kind of cult movie. And then to save your skin when people like try as hard as they can to forget about your movie and rush to Cobra Kai to remember that nostalgic feeling, you cash in. You basically, you Seth Rollins'd it. You've cashed in.
It's I don't know. I want to see those two on screen together. I don't care. Daniel-san and Arla. I just let them cook. Let them cook. So then in December we have Sonic the Hedgehog 3. And you know what? This is a fun franchise. They've done the character well. It's the one time that the internet agreed on something when they made sure that Sonic got redesigned for that first one. The second one with Knuckles, it was fun. I think the bit in the bar was a little bit strange and a little bit overdrawn, battling that drunk guy with the dancing. But other than that, it was a fun adventure. Mm-hmm. And then the last movie that I've got listed on here for December is Mufasa the Lion King. So this is a prequel focusing on Mufasa. Thoughts, Neil? You do not look impressed.
Why do I need to know anything about Mufasa when, and I know how horrible this sounds, the most important things Mufasa the lion did was father Simba and die in front of Simba. What possible reason could I need to watch a whole movie about him? I know he's gonna survive whatever peril you put him in. I know he's gonna survive.
That's right, there's no stakes to this movie, and
I am 100% sure he is gonna survive. I'm 100% sure Scar is gonna survive. I'm sure that the wife lion, I can't remember what her name is, right, I'm sure she'll make it. What am I going to see? What the birth of Zazu and how Mufasa met Rafiki?
It's probably like how Scar got his scar and why he's so upset. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, is the most unnecessary prequel. But look, but what's crazy about this is it's got Pumbaa and Timon in it as well. Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner are coming back. It's like they've got nothing to do with Mufasa.
Maybe they're telling the story. Maybe they're telling the story to Simba's kid.
They might open the movie, right? To say, this is what happened. So we got Aaron Pierre as Mufasa and Kelvin Harrison Sr. as Scar. John Kanai is Rafiki.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that the people, are they the people who played Scar and Mufasa in...
No.
What am I watching for?
Yeah,
it's live action. Telling me
they're young. They have to sound young. I don't know. It's being directed by Barry Jenkins.
That doesn't save it.
Yeah, I mean, he's done. What has he done? He's on Moonlight. So he's director of Moonlight. If Beale Street Could Talk, The Gays, The Underground Railroad, it's a TV miniseries.
See, this is the problem, right? Getting an amazing director to direct your bad idea of a film does not mean it will become a good idea.
No, it doesn't. I think, I mean, obviously in production, but if Disney were thinking, how should we just not release films that don't need to be released? That would be one of them. We're just going to jump on quickly to cover some Netflix movies now. Let's have a look. We've got Lift, comedy action. Directed by F. Gary Gray, Kevin Hart, Vincent...
L-Y-F-T?
What's that?
Is it spelled L-Y-F-T?
No, L-I-F-T.
Okay.
So it's a heist movie, basically. Oh, okay. Vincent DeFornio, Ursula Corbo.
I think I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah. Then we've got Rebel Moon Part 2. I haven't seen the first one yet. Do you care about this franchise at the moment?
Oh, trust me. When I watch it, I'm going to be in heaven. I know that already.
Okay. Part 2, that's scheduled for April, I think, at the moment, 2024. We've got Family Affair, romantic comedy. Joey King, Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, Kathy Bates. Decent cast there. So originally scheduled, it was originally scheduled for November, but it had been pushed because of the strikes. And Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron star alongside each other for the first time since The Paperboy. there we go. We've got Atlas, sci-fi action with Jennifer Lopez, Simi Liu, Sterling K. Brown. Mother did well on Netflix, even though I didn't think it was a great movie. But I mean, she's obviously...
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay. The movie is about Atlas fighting for humanity in the future, where AI soldiers determine the only way to end a war is to end humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So Skynet, basically. Then we've got Average Height, Average Build. So this is Adam McKay.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he had a great success with Don't Look Up for Netflix. Yeah. This has got Robert Downey Jr., Amy Adams, Robert Pattinson, Forest Whitaker, Danielle Deadweiler. So again, really strong cast. Everybody wants to work with Adam McKay. No idea what it's about. But hey. We've got Back in Action, action comedy with Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx. So the new action comedy will see Cameron Diaz return to the big screen alongside, well, depends if it gets released in cinemas, it's a Netflix movie. But yeah, and then obviously Jamie Foxx after being hospitalized, so it's a bit of a comeback for both of those. We've got Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley, or Axel F, as the trailer says. So obviously Beverly Hills Cop 4. The trailer looked all right. There were some nice nostalgia moments in there. And apparently the director asked if he could, he basically wanted any movie looking like the original. He's like, I want the same hair, I want the tash, I want the jacket. And he's like, I can do the jacket, but I can't get the hair the same. I can't get that through. So we'll see. What did you think of the trailer?
I think, unfortunately for me, watching the trailer, it reminded me a little bit too much of Bad Boys for Life.
Right, okay.
And I think, like, those two movies, whilst they follow a somewhat similar vein, they are stylistically very different. So for them to look stylistically so similar, I was like, yeah.
Okay. Then we've got Carry On. So a TSA agent gets blackmailed by a mysterious traveler to let a dangerous package slip through security and onto a Christmas Day flight. So Christmas movie. Taron Egerton, Jason Bateman, Sophia Carson. So decent cast there. I do like Taron Egerton. Really liked him in Tetris. Thought he was great in that as well. Then we've got Code 8 Part 2, Robbie Amell and Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
Didn't see the first one. Did you see the first movie?
I did. I was quite a fan of the first one.
Okay, I'd need to get around to watching that.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the sequel, I mean, it doesn't really need a sequel, but
okay.
Hey, it's the same people involved, so I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. Yeah.
All right. Then we got Damsels. So this is a fantasy adventure movie. Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown, Angela Bassett, Robin Wright, Ray Winston, Nick Robinson. So yeah, decent cast there. A dutiful damsel agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find the royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt. Thrown into a cave with a fire-breathing dragon, she must rely on her wits and will to survive. Dun dun dun. So that looks fun.
Did you see the trailer for it?
No, I haven't.
It looks interesting.
Yeah, all right. Cool. Then we have Family Leave. Director McGee, he did Terminator Salvation, right?
Yes, he did.
Who's the cast? Doesn't say who the cast is. Okay, this new family comedy about the Brenner family who all wake up to a full family body switch. Oh, okay, fine. And the same thing has happened to a family on the other side of the world.
Oh, I know this. This has got Ed Helms.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got Ed Helms in it. Like the full body switch. So it's like the dad becomes the son, the mum becomes the daughter, the baby gets swapped with the dog. Right, yeah.
Okay. Then what else have we got? We've got Gundam, action sci-fi. So based on the hit Japanese mech franchise, so it's a live-action movie. Are you looking forward to that, bro?
Oh, yeah. Gundam, that's business there.
All right, cool. So don't have a slate for that yet, but 2024. Then we've got Havoc, directed by Gareth Evans, Tom Hardy, Timothy Oliphant, Forest Whitaker.
Yeah.
The story follows a detective following up on a drug deal that's gone dramatically wrong, which leads him to rescue a politician's son. So, yeah, I think it's a bit kind of Tom Hardy in action mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we've got Irish Wish, Lindsay Lohan, Ed Spielers, romantic comedy. It'll be what it is. Then we've got Locked In, romance thriller with Famke Janssen, who was in X-Men.
Jean Grey.
Yeah, Anna Friel, Finn Cole, Rose Williams. It's a British-based romance thriller. That's what we know. Okay. Then we've got Lonely Planet, Laura Dern, Liam Hemsworth, Diana Silvers. Mm-hmm. It's a, again, another romance movie, a love story set in Morocco. We have Monkey Man, which is with Dev Patel, who also directed. It's an action thriller. It was originally listed for 22, then it was rescheduled for 23, and then it's been pushed back to 24. So I don't know if it's a movie with problems or whether they just had to do refilming and stuff like that. But yeah, Dev Patel, he writes, directs, and stars. So it's about an ex-felon released in India struggling to adjust to a world full of greed and eroding spiritual values. Sounds interesting. I do really like Dev Patel, so really wish him well on this project. Absolutely. Then what else have we got? Apparently Saving Bikini Bottom, the Sandy Cheeks movie. SpongeBob movie. So that is a title. Saving Bikini Bottom, the Sandy Cheeks movie. So, animated movie. It is a kid's movie.
Is it though?
It's got all the casts from the cartoon. So it's got Clancy Brown and Wanda Sykes, Tom Kenny. Johnny Knoxville, Craig Robinson. So yeah, more SpongeBob fun to come out. What else have we got? Shout It Out Loud. So another music biopic. This is about Gene and Paul from Kiss. So we've got Kiss biopic coming. Okay. We've got 6888, historical drama directed by Tyler Perry. Starring Kerry Washington, Susan Sarandon, Dean Norris, Sam Waterstone, Sarah Jeffrey, Oprah Winfrey. It's on the overlook story of a courageous woman in the United States in the 6888 Battalion that operated during World War II. Features a huge ensemble cast and has concluded filming locations in the UK and US. All right. Another historical biography. We got Regina King, Lance Reddick, Terrence Howard. This is Shirley. So I guess it's on Shirley Bassey, is it? It's a biopic on Shirley Chisholm, first ever black congresswoman. So I was way off. So Regina King is playing her. What else? The Deliverance, a horror movie from Lee Daniels. Andrea Day, Glenn Close, Caleb McLaughlin, and Rob Morgan. Describes a mid-budget horror movie. It was shot in 22. It's based on Latoya Ammons and her family, who claim to have been a victim of a demonic possession that spanned over 2 years and counting. We got The Electric State, sci-fi, Joe Russo and Anthony Russo directing, with Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt. It says, set in a post-apocalyptic 1997, interesting, The Electric State is a story of Michelle, who, accompanied by a toy robot Skip, sets out across the western United States in a stolen car to find her missing brother. Told in achingly melancholy spare prose and featuring almost 100 gorgeous full-color illustrations, The Electric State is a novel like no other. So maybe it's kind of a movie that is kind of blended with some kind of animation or... Okay, there's like a still here, which looks quite interesting. But there we go. What else we got? The Mothership, Halle Berry. She'll play Sarah Morse in a new family sci-fi movie where she discovers a strange object nestled away in their rural farm, setting off them on an adventure. We've got The Old Guard 2, Uma Thurman, Charlize Theron, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Henry Golding. Did you see the first one? I haven't watched
it yet. I was impressed with it.
Okay, so The Old Guard 2. The Piano Lesson. Samuel Jackson, John David Washington, Danielle Brooks, Rafe Fisher. Adaptation of August Wilson's play that played on Broadway through 2002. I have no idea what the play is about. So, Then we have Spaceman, Carey Mulligan, Adam Sandler, Paul Dano. Adam Sandler, Netflix movie, set in space, maybe.
I mean, if it's a serious one, then it's probably going to be a freaking amazing film.
So we see Sandler play an astronaut who becomes his country's first after being raised as an orphan. So maybe there's some serious stuff to it. Interesting. Then we have Ultraman animation. What else have we got? Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story. Comedy directed by Jerry Seinfeld with Amy Schumer, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, James Marsden, Hugh Grant. Jerry Seinfeld will star, direct, write, and produce this new comedy movie about the origin of the humble confectionery, the Pop-Tart. The joke inspires the movie told on the stand-up stage and tells the story of a sworn rivalry between Kellogg's and Post. Interesting. We've got an untitled Siddiqui Brothers movie, Adam Sandler. So I think this is it's a new sports drama from the Siddiqui Brothers, who are reteamed with Adam Sandler, who they worked with on Uncut Gems, that's set in the world of baseball trading cards. So,
okay,
that's interesting. I like the sound of that. Yeah. And then we've got Wallace and Gromit. So a new movie in the Wallace and Gromit universe is coming to Netflix exclusively in 2024. So probably I'd imagine November, December next year. So yeah, so there's a lot there. And there's loads of stuff in development as well, which I won't go on because those things might move around. But yeah, Netflix is still throwing money.
Pumping them out.
You know, they've got like BioShock and all this other stuff too. Bright 2 sequel with Will Smith in development. Chinatown, a prequel to the 1974 film with David Fincher serving as executive. They got a lot of stuff going on. But hey, we could spend all day talking about what Netflix is doing or not doing. Gears of War apparently is with Netflix as well.
So.
Anyway, if you had a couple of things which you're particularly looking forward to for 2024, then what would it be?
Oof, I mean, I have everything that we've just mentioned. The Iron Claw in January. Rebel Moon Part 2. I mean, I say that having not seen Rebel Moon Part 1 yet. That's about it.
Right, I mean, exactly. It's like I want to see more movies in 2024 to fail. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I want to see how crap Madam Web is. I want to see how crap Kraven the Hunter is in Venom 3. Yeah. I think for me, the ones I'm looking forward to is, Ghostbusters, it's Deadpool 3, and Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. They're probably the ones that I'm most interested in. But yeah, it's not a movie where there's a few standout. We're like, oh my God, this is fire. Yeah, this is where I want to be on opening day.
Surprising because you didn't know that they were coming.
Yes, exactly. And there's more like intrigues. Like I said, there's more intrigue. I was like, oh, that movie sounds quite good. Or, oh, that'd be interesting. Like I say, a lot of sequels, Gladiator 2, Beetlejuice 2, Joker 2. So a lot of Dune 2. So there's a lot of stuff there where we're like, not too sure. But yeah, no doubt we're going to be checking them out.
Well,
so
I think
thank you for listening.
We'll say.
Yeah, go on, Neil.
Is that I think this might be a very good, I think this year, that because of the fact there isn't anything truly like monumental that's like middle of the year and everybody is waiting to see it, because there isn't really and truly anything coming like that, I think it's sort of like a calm before the storm kind of situation, where 2025 is probably going to be bombarded with a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. There's obviously in 2025, you're going to have Superman Legacy.
Yeah.
You've got Snow White, whatever your thoughts are on that, the actress. You've got the Batman Part 2. Mm-hmm. You've got the live action Moana. You've got Captain America, Brave New World. Mm-hmm. You've got potentially Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts. It's a lot of Marvel content, but obviously being pushed over that way. So I think there's definitely more blockbusters coming in 2025. And again, a lot of that is because stuff has been pushed. You got Aladdin 2, live action sequel. John Wick Chapter 5, whatever that might look like. You've got another Mad Max. Constantine 2 has been rumored for 2025 as well with Keanu. You've got another Tron movie. There might be another Star Wars movie. Avatar movie, I think, at the end of 2025 as well.
That's right. So that's it. I think 2024 is a lot of... 2024 is going to be a lot of... A lot of, like, we're putting out stuff, but, you know, this is, we're easing you, we're giving you a light year.
Oh, Fast X Part 2. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2, that got pushed. So, yeah, 2025
is
it, going to be a big year. You got Roosevelt, Martin Scorsese and DiCaprio as well for 2025. Potentially Sherlock Holmes 3 with Robert Downey Jr. So there's a lot that could happen in 2025. Like you say, next year's just kind of seems like a bit of a filler year. So right. Well, that was an epic episode. If thank you, if you're still listening, thank you. Appreciate you. If you're just here because you've skipped to the end, that's fine too. No worries. You just missed
out. I can't believe you didn't listen to what we had to say about February and August.
You just missed some key dates and key films. But anyway, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe and make sure you follow us on our podcast platform. Really appreciate you. Neil, anything before we move into 2024?
No, not yet.
No, just all right.
Happy
cool.
New Year, all.
Happy New Year to you all.
Thank you for rocking with Creative Control for what's been longer than a year.
Yeah, well, it's got 3 years now we've been doing this.
Yeah, 3 years deep. So thanks for rocking with us for this long.
We appreciate it. And look, beginning of the year, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be delving into 2023. We're going to pick our top 10 worst movies and top 10 best movies. And hopefully we'll get some more of the team on that so we can get some more input from them. But so Happy New Year. And until next time, see you next year. Peace out. Hey.